Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Sunday Skate with Scott McLaughlin, Andrew Razor Raycroft, and Bridget Prue on WEEI.
I heard you touching on some of this along the lines of these last two games. Tough to find room, tough to find shots.
Yeah, and I just told the team, it's what we got to get used to. It's what it's going to be the rest of the year. So you got to have second and third effort to create offense, and you have to be desperate getting back above the puck. Defense.
Welcome back to Sunday Skate. We'll take you up to 11 a.m. Christian Arcand on after that. I'm Scott McLaughlin with Andrew Raycroft and Bridget Prue. That was Bruins coach Jim Montgomery talking about these last two games and facing tight checking from the Rangers and Flyers, trying to break through something Bruins are going to have to find a way to be better at. You know, creating offense as teams lock down defensively here late in the season, then especially in the playoffs. Let's get to a couple calls here. Let's go to Jay in North Carolina. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning, folks. As usual, your analysis is spot on. I really appreciate your insight. I have a couple of questions. The first one's for Razor. Razor, if are the goalies penalized statistically for empty net goals?
No, they're not. No empty netters, but they are for the overtime goals.
And number two, I spoke with the screener for WEI, and I said, who is the enforcer for the Bruins? He said, we don't have enforcers in the league anymore. I said, bull crap. I said, you got Rempe over in New York and McCormick for the Devils. Who's the tough guy for the Bruins?
Well, I mean, sometimes that falls on Trent Frederick. And I do think, talking specifically about yesterday, where, you know, we talked about the Eric Johnson knee on Brad Marchand, Frederick did get up in Johnson's face at one point and was clearly saying something to him. I don't know if he was challenging him to a fight or not. But nothing came of it. Garnet Hathaway kind of came over and, you know, sort of stepped in between them. So nothing came from that. But, you know, look, Pat Maroon can do that once he gets on the ice and he has started skating. So you know, sounds like he's going to be back at some point. There's still no set date, but
they're going to need an enforcer when they place the Panthers. I know that.
They got Pat Maroon.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Okay. Thanks, okay. Jay. So that was Nico you were talking to, and Nico's right that there aren't traditional enforcers anymore, and you know, even Rempe with the Rangers, he's sort of really unique in today's game in that he's playing 4 to 5 minutes a game, if that. Most teams just don't.
Yeah,
have a spot for that kind of player.
He's a new shiny toy, too.
Yeah.
He's not a legit NHLer by any means. He's played six games. So
and his face from the first game to the last game that he's played doesn't even look like the same person, because he's gotten his face beat in four out of six games. And it's, I mean, yeah, it's entertaining, but it's also he's not an NHLer except for just to jump out there and. As of right now.
Yeah, he's kind of like a comet just streaking through, where it's like he wants to fight everyone. Everyone wants to fight him, you know, kind of show the new kid on the block what's up. And it's going to run its course. I I'd kind of be surprised if he's even in their lineup come playoffs. Like, it just doesn't happen in the playoffs as much where you need a guy or even want a guy out there who's just looking to fight or throw a big hit. He already got himself suspended once. He had another questionable hit that I think probably should have been a game or two, but that he got nothing for. So, yeah, I guess if you get to an Eastern Conference Finals against the Rangers and Rempe's in the lineup and they're actually using him, maybe we can have that conversation then. But in the meantime, I think you're fine with...
Well, if he is, then yeah, you kind of do have to have someone out there policing it. I mean,
or you just ignore him. And just,
him, not if he goes after David Pastrnak.
Well, listen, if Matt Rempe is on the ice with David Pastrnak, then I'm...
Yeah, it's a great time.
Yeah, I'm chomping at the bit if I'm the Bruins. Like, I'm like, great, let's go. That's best case scenario.
Yeah, no, it's the goon. Like, it's a guy that's not... He can't compete with David Pastrnak, but he can hurt your best player, or he can hurt one of your players that you need, one of your pieces that you need. It's just something that you don't want to see happen. But Pat Maroon is more than capable of stepping up in those kind of situations if he needs to stand up for Marchand on a knee-to-knee hit or something like that. I met him for the first time Thursday, just up on the ninth floor. We both were just waiting at the coffee machine at the same time, just by happenstance. He's a nice guy, but massive. Like, Bruins have some big guys. Like, when I first met Brazo, I felt incredibly small. Same thing when I met Pat Maroon. These guys are huge. And then, like, it's funny because coming from talking to some of the college kids this weekend and then coming back to talking to the NHL guys, like, the size is, you notice a big difference between Lane Hutson and Pat Maroon. So, like, you don't want to go into the corner with Pat Maroon.
Razor, you had Pat Maroon on Morning Brew for an extended chat. We found out he's a big fan of media.
You know, media scrums are fun.
Yeah, media scrums are fun. He was great.
Was that a shot at Jack, by the way? No, I don't know.
No
comments about Jack.
Why hasn't anyone asked about that? I'm surprised.
You could have.
I think we
not me.
No, actually,
no.
You probably could have.
We just haven't. We had that first.
I don't ask questions in there if you've noticed.
Yeah, we had the first scrum with him the day he got here. Like, literally, like as he walked in the building, the first thing he did was meet with media, which I'm sure he was thrilled about. But we haven't talked to him since then because he hasn't.
Got it.
I did. I talked to him Thursday. He's very nice. He was very nice.
Did you ask him about Jack?
No, I could have, though. I could have. I was just standing there like, I was like, what do I say to this guy? Yeah. And I chickened out, didn't say anything except for ask him what he was getting. And he said he was getting coffee because his hands were cold. And I was like, say, I'm getting tea because my hands are cold.
Yes. And then for most people, obviously, have not been up there. The ninth floor of TD Garden, very cold pretty much all the time.
Very cold.
All right, let's go to David in the car, who has some concerns about Bruins in the playoffs.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thank you for taking the call. So I do have some concerns because what happened last year, you know, in professional sports, it can hurt you, it can motivate you, but it can also hurt you when you lose, when you're expected to win all the way. And there are games that you lose throughout the season, especially towards the end of the season, that it stays in your mind. And I know people talk about the goalies and all this, but at the end of the day, defense is key. You know, I play professional sports, so I kind of have I know what it's like to be in that situation. And what happens is, as much as we try to tell ourselves, and a professional athlete will try to tell himself, well, that's last year, that's behind you, there's always a thought about it. And that's a concern that I have, because there's been many games that this team should have won, and they went into overtime and they lost it. And that is a problem, because you cannot have those chances. You cannot take a chance and think, oh, okay, we bounced back before, you know, maybe some of the ones that they've won. But there's been, I believe there's been more the other way. And as much as I really want this team to win and to go all the way, you know, I really do. But I do have concerns that, you know, I know there's a lot of questions about goalies and this and that. And at the end of the day, every player has to play their part. You know, it's not just about having a tough player on the ice. It's, you know, European hockey, people talk about it being a finesse game, but sometimes you need finesse. It's not always just you need technique. You need somebody who can skate, who can go around the players, who can score, who can get by defense. You need defensive players who can stop the offense from the other team and not just depend on a goalie to do so. And I find sometimes that's what we do. We depend on a goalie too much to be the last one to do the stopping when somebody else should have done it before that.
David, what did you play?
I played soccer in Europe for 8 years.
Oh, nice.
And soccer is a very similar game to hockey in a way. It's a bigger field, but it's, you're out there. You don't have a timeout. You can't just call a timeout like that. You don't have designed plays. It's all on a technique of the players. You talk about it before. The coaches coach you. They tell you what to do. But when you're out on the field, you know, just like hockey, you gotta be the one developing the play. You gotta observe. You gotta see what's going on. You gotta set up your players. You gotta make sure your defense is where they need to be when something's going on. And that's why, you know, I really enjoy hockey, because it's, I look at it, it's faster than soccer, obviously, a lot faster because it's a small arena. But also it's the technique of the players. It's real. At the end of the day, I don't care how good of a coach is, if your players aren't playing the right way, if they're not developing the plays, you're not going to win.
All right. Thanks a lot, David. Thanks for the call.
Scott had to ask, because Scott's a huge soccer fan.
I am, yeah. Manchester City, my team.
Yeah, that's probably who David played for, right?
In a title race. Off this weekend. I think it's international break. But, yeah, so the scar tissue from last year, does that carry over? Does that play in at all when they get to the playoffs this year? Any of those feelings? Because normally I would say no, like you're a full year later. The one area where I do wonder if it still creeps in is the problem with holding leads that we've seen throughout this season, which really first started in the playoffs last year. I do wonder if there's still a mental block there.
I'm not sure if that's just a problem, right? That's just a problem. I'm not sure that they would think that it's carryover from last season. It's just something that they have to get better at. They have to find a way to close out and or, you know, score a 6-on-5 goal too, right? Have they scored many 6-on-5 goals? I feel like they haven't. They haven't been in that position too often, fortunately. But, you know, watching Tampa score one last night, I was like, yeah, maybe – I wonder how many of those we've had this year.
It feels like they've had some bad turnovers 6-on-5. Like the other day, you know, Coyle in the offensive zone.
Non-threatening 6-on-5.
Yeah, it's like they're almost not even giving themselves a chance because they're not keeping possession long enough. You know, they get sloppy and it goes the other way and
that's something they're going to have to prove come playoff time. They're going to have to close out a series with the goalie, you know, with a 6-on-5 against. They're going to have to close out two or three of those games every couple of weeks to go on a run. And I don't think that carry over from last season, but it's going to carry over from the regular season, certainly.
All right, we got to catch a break here. You can join in 617-779-7937. Text us 37937. Bridget, as you're trending, we'll be back after this.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Non-stop hockey talk. It's Sunday Skate on Boston Sports Original, WEEI.
McAvoy, we talked about this going into the game. McAvoy seemed more shot conscious.
I thought he was dynamite tonight. You know, not only shooting the puck, but I just thought he, I mean, that pass he made to Pasta in the first, and a couple of big hits, and then he was ending plays, and then he's carrying the puck. I mean, he was really good tonight.
Welcome back to Sunday Skate. I'm Scott McLaughlin with Andrew Raycroft and Bridger Peru. That was Jim Montgomery talking about Charlie McAvoy's game yesterday. I have my own thoughts on McAvoy's play, but we also have a call here who wants to talk about McAvoy and Lindholm. So let's go to Joe in Ohio. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. How you doing? First off, I'd like to say good job by Razor talking to Fourier about hockey, but you might as well save your breath. I don't think it's going to get through. He's too football-centric. Anyway, and to Bridget, yeah, and to Bridget, good job with college hockey, and go Lady Buckeyes.
Thank you.
And to,
I'll be there today.
Yes. Oh, great, great. I'll be watching. And to Scott, you have my condolences on BU.
Anyway, thank you, Jim.
You're welcome. The reason I'm calling is this team on defense, especially in their own zone, they have two studs in McAvoy and Lindholm, and I don't think either one of them have been very consistent this year. And the things that are bothering me, and this might be part of their defensive structure, so maybe they're trying to make plays that aren't there, but I have seen on several times where Lindholm is in the corner or behind the net and makes a no-look pass in his defensive zone right into the slot, or tries to clear the puck up the middle. And I'm telling you, this isn't going to work in the playoffs. And Razor, I heard Maroon on your show with Billy Jaffe, and he made a good point. In the playoffs, boring hockey, puck off the glass and out, around the boards, one goal could be the difference in a series. So I would like to have your thoughts on that, all three of you, on Lindholm and McAvoy. And I like both guys. I'm really a big Charlie McAvoy fan. But I see the way Lindholm played last year, the first half of the season, so it's there. But it's almost like he played like that because McAvoy was injured. Ever since then, I haven't seen the same Lindholm. So I would like your thoughts, please.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah, so I'll start with Lindholm because I do think one thing that gets lost or overlooked a little bit is that his role this year, it's just different than what it was during that opening stretch to last season when he was putting up points at a career-high pace. He was getting a lot of offensive zone starts. They were relying on him as the offensive guy on the blue line. This year, Lindholm Carlo's been, that's been their shutdown pairing. They get buried with defensive zone starts. They're out there for every big D-zone face-off. They're facing other teams' top lines. And so you don't get the offensive zone face-offs as a byproduct of that. You just don't get as many offensive opportunities. So not to totally make excuses for Lindholm, I do think there's been times he can bring more offense than he has this year. But, and Montgomery's said this, like his primary job and that pairing's primary job has been defense. And I know, listen, when you're in that role, you're going to make mistakes. Like it's just impossible for an NHL defenseman to be perfect all the time. The game is too fast. Other teams are too good for that to happen. On the whole, their numbers this season are still very good. Like if you look at goals, 5-on-5 goals against per 60 minutes, I think I did this last week and I think it was like among 60 qualified pairings, you know, however many minutes, whatever. Lindholm Carlo were on the ice for the 6th fewest goals against. And among pairings that get the kind of D-zone starts that they do, they were 2nd. So I know it's easy to pick up the mistakes and to look at Lindholm's point totals, but for the most part, like he is still doing the job that he's being tasked with very well.
Yeah, and he when he came back from injury, he was playing well. But I think the Rangers game, he got off his game. Like he was off his game that night. He gave up that very late in the second period turnover that turned into one of the Panarin goals that banked in off DeBrus. Like that was a bad turnover that directly seconds later led to a puck in the back of your net. Had some tough shifts in the Philly game as well. not clearing pucks and just some uncharacteristic stuff. So he's a great player. I don't think you could argue that as a whole, like that D pair has been solid and is a trusted D pair for you. But just the last two games, I think you saw a bit of a slip and you want to see him get back on track. And not even saying necessarily offensively, but some of the basic stuff, turnovers in your own end, transition, just weren't as clean the last two games.
They you have to judge them on long spells, right? Because of the way they play, because of how many minutes they play, they're going to make mistakes. They're going to have shifts. They're going to have periods where the puck just doesn't bobble correctly. And they're the second last line of defense. So it ends up in the net earlier, quicker when they make a mistake rather than, a Brazo down in the corner, 200 feet away from the net. That's the way it is. They're highly respected. They're such a good, such great players, understand the game. I would say to the pass to the middle, that's a Bruins staple, and it has been for a long time with Bergeron up the middle and Krejci up the middle. I do want to see them get it play more simpler, and I guess that's the one thing I could really see being important over the next few games is simplifying against Tampa and Florida and Washington and Carolina when they're on the road. And I would like to see them go off the glass and out a little bit more. I'd like to see them punt it a little bit more, like Florida did last season to the finals, like Vegas did to a cup last season. Live to fight another day rather than make a perfect possession out of the zone. I think that's really what did them in last season in the playoffs. I think they continue to force things when they were getting pressured, and I think there's times when you can use it as a safety valve. So I have no issues with any of the top defenders. Again, they're going to be 25, 30-minute guys come playoff time. I'm excited to see them take on that role a little bit more. I think last season it got diminished a little with Orlov coming in and basically having a big three. Now you have a big two with the secondary pieces. Carlo's great. Grizzly pairs so well with McAvoy. But I want to see those big two really take over come playoff time, and a lot of those minutes can be done simpler.
Well, one of the big two that was the other part of his question was Charlie McAvoy. And I think nobody's going to argue, like, just put this out of the way first. Like, he's great. We're not saying anything about him not being great. But, Razor, do you think over the last 2 weeks, say, or stretch of the last few games, has he been playing as good as he needs to play?
Well,
he's gone 10 games without a point.
So does he have to get points? I think the thing.
He does. I think for this team, he does.
Yeah, I think that's a power play issue more than anything, right? Like he's got to shoot the puck. That's why I just don't know what the other word is, but never say never. He's not going to win Norris trophies because he's not going to get enough points in this new age NHL. Like, guys that win Norrises are going to have to get 80, 90 points. He's not going to be that guy. That doesn't mean that he's not, wouldn't get drafted in the top five of defensemen in the National Hockey League. So yeah, but you're right. He does need, they need him. Like, they need Brad, like they need Zacha, like they need Coyle to chip in at times. They do need that secondary scoring, and McAvoy's right at the top of that. So I want to back away from criticizing him for that, because I think there's sometimes in different games where that 25 minutes is needed other places, but they do need, power play wise, he needs to get a shot through or a wrister through or make a perfect pass to somebody that buries at the other end.
Yeah, what Montgomery was talking about pregame yesterday was there was this phrase that both the reporter and him were using was shot ready, like McAvoy not being as shot ready in particular on the power play. And Montgomery was saying, well, his wingers are very demanding of pucks. Like, you have Marchand to one side and Pastrnak to the other side. Those guys are looking for the pass. So, and we know he has that perfect setup pass for a Pasta one-timer. We've seen that work on multiple occasions, just hasn't been working recently. They haven't been getting those looks recently. But do you think he isn't shot ready? Like, what is your opinion of his shot selection, and does he need to just put more on net, or is he doing the right thing in dishing to wingers, because those are guys that are deadly scorers like Pasternak?
Well, that's where the whole PP1 gets into issues, is when they try and make too many plays. I think they get thinking seem too early in the units at times, in the opportunities. I think they can lose the shot mentality, and Charlie's a big part of that. He's the quarterback up top. He's the one moving it. So I think that's what he means. I'm assuming they mean power play. I don't know. They only had 20 shots again last night, so maybe he means 5-on-5 as well. But I get the sense that it's more that power play opportunities. They need to simplify a little bit.
This is something that you brought up earlier in the year, like that sometimes other guys' numbers on the power play have been better than McAvoy's offensively, but that they don't really seem to want to move off of McAvoy on the top unit.
No, and you know, I think with the top power play unit, which continues to struggle and has struggled for a little while now, you know, the majority of the Bruins' recent power play goals going back a month have come from the second unit. Like Montgomery mentioned it, you know, I think he thought it was like 8 of 10. I went back and counted. I think it was 7 of 11 have been scored by the second unit. And with that top unit, it's, you know, to me, it's McAvoy and Marchand have to be more shot ready, like have to be more dangerous scorers, because if they're not, if teams think they're always just looking to pass, well, it becomes really easy to overload on Pasternak and try to take him away. And, you know, Pasternak has, what, I think one power play goal, and it's been a while. I don't have the exact numbers for him, but 15 games, so it's 18 games, something like that. You know, McAvoy's gone a couple months without a power play goal. Not that you necessarily need him scoring, but you do need him shooting just to get things moving, looking, whether it's for a tip, a rebound. Like, the best way to get a penalty kill scrambling is to get shots and then retrieve rebounds and keep it moving and get guys out of position scrambling. Like, when you're structured and you're just standing there passing around, most good penalty kills can defend that. They can stay in their structure. They can take away that seam pass to Pasternak. So other guys have to be willing to shoot and have to have that mindset of getting pucks to the net. And I specifically, like, I would like to see the Bruins getting pucks to the net very early in the power play. Like, you see other teams do this. You saw the Rangers do it the other night, where it's like they win a faceoff, and I think it was Panarin from the top of the circle, and like clearly not looking to score, but shoots 3 seconds into the power play. And then the Rangers get the rebound, and like now they're off and going. Bruins, it feels like a lot of times, even when they win that opening faceoff, it's like they're looking to get set up first, and then they'll start to look for a shot. And I just think they're giving penalty kills too much time to get set.
Yeah, typically they've done that when they want to fight out of it. I remember in Dallas, they were in Dallas earlier in the year, and they did that, and they were struggling, and they shoot that one off the skates, off the side of the net, of Marchand, and Pasta comes off the wall and just rips it right away off a faceoff. It typically gets them better. And I'd like to see that as well. And it'll be interesting, again, that let's see if that's the mentality as they get on the road, too. Let's see how this kind of changes. And I guess as we've gone an hour and a half, and we started out of this talking about them playing tougher teams and getting on the road, I think it should serve them. We should get a pretty good understanding of where this group's at with these games. And again, it's not the wins and losses, but as I think about it, them going into Tampa, them going into Florida is going to be different than having the Rangers come home after they've been home for a week already on a Thursday night. It's going to be different than them playing the Philadelphia Flyers on a Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock. Like, you can see the difference and the contrast in those kind of games, and you can see how we should see the difference in how they play and how they keep it simpler. And I think this group's better when they keep it simple. I think there's been times where they still are in that razzle-dazzle mode at times, but I think at the end of the day, this group goes as far as simple they can play and find ways to score and offensive and defensively by not having the puck.
Razzle-dazzle. That's what I took out of that.
Yeah, razzle-dazzle. There was a lot of that last year until game six.
Yeah, and so I guess the real question is, like, how do you get people to buy into, like, know when it's time to stop with the razzle dazzle, the fancy, the, you know, like how do you get through to, let's just make that clear up the wall? Like how,
well, it's just a little bit of a mindset. I think it's just being okay with not trying to make a play. There's no like buy-in or anything. Like these guys are all bought in.
It's not, I don't mean buy-in necessarily. Yeah. I mean, like, how do you make the switch if you're doing it too much to simplify? I know it sounds like just
do it,
right?
Yeah,
like,
just do it.
But sometimes it's like, okay, but they're not in this situation.
Well, I think a little bit of that goes to playing the Flyers on a Saturday afternoon. Like that, the mindset's a little bit different. You're a little more comfortable than being uncomfortable, which again, going into some of these buildings, you should be a little more uncomfortable. And I think that's why, you know, a lot of teams, including the Bruins, are so good on the road at different times with the way they use their structure, just in a different way. They don't force that extra play through the neutral zone or in the defensive zone.
By the way, if you wanted to see a beautiful power play operating in all cylinders, I've ignored this long enough, but the Boston College Eagles beating my BU Terriers in the hockey's championship Saturday night, scored on their first four power plays of the game, and
yeah,
they just have an insane amount of talent. Four first rounders on their top power play unit. Will Smith, 6th overall pick of the San Jose Sharks this past summer, freshman who leads the country in points, had 4 goals and an assist in that game.
First rookie to ever have a hat trick in the championship game for Hockey East.
Yeah.
I mean, he was phenomenal the whole weekend. That freshman line is, they're all like NHL ready. I know everybody at BC wants them to stick around for another year. I doubt you're getting all 3 of them back. But they think faster, they move the puck faster, they move their legs faster than pretty much anyone in the country. It is going to be hard to beat them for a national title. I feel like they're the odds on favorite going in after what we just saw.
Easily. Yeah.
I
think BU has a national title caliber team. I was telling you guys this off air, and they very well could end up in the national championship game in a rematch against BC. And it just feels like, unless something happens with BC or they have an off game or you find a way to completely stay out of the box, like BC's one, you know, we all watch a lot of college hockey. BC's the best team I've seen in a long, long time. Maybe ever since like I really started following closely. I was too young for that 93 main team with Jim Montgomery and Paul Kariya leading the way. Like, I can't really speak to that, but modern era, like I don't know who really comes close to this BC team.
No, and if you're – I hope everybody's college hockey fans. I love college hockey, obviously. But there's 2 Bruins prospects on that BC top line. Andre Gasseau is, you know, I think he's right wing. Oscar Jelvik is the left wing, in centered by Cutter Gauthier. So there's somebody to watch.
Yeah, by the way, that's the other line that isn't the 3 freshmen who are all first-round picks who are, like, top 5 in the country in scoring. That other line just has Cutter Gauthier, who leads the country in goals.
Like, and a top 5 pick, and actually the best NHL.
Yeah.
He's going to be the best NHLer out of all of them. That guy's legit.
The Flyers traded him.
Well, they had to.
That's still, a crazy – I know.
Yeah,
that situation. I'm still trying to suss out what was going on with that.
It's very obvious what happened there. Whatever you think is obvious, that's what happened. They're really good. The only thing that's saving everybody else and when it comes to that team is that it's a one and done. And I think they're built for one and done because they're special. Like I was saying, their special teams are great. Their goalie's great. Their players are great. So they're going to be fine in one and dones, but anything can happen in one game. If you're playing that team in a 7-game series, you have no chance. Every other college team would have absolutely no chance. One and done, anything can happen. Like at the Beanpot where BU gets a couple early ones and time runs out essentially. That's the hang on any of these teams are going to need. BC will be in Providence. And they should roll through regionals. To BU's point, they are kind of that second best tier. There's BU, there's North Dakota, there's Denver, there's Michigan State, And those guys will kind of battle it out to be in the finals with BC by the looks of things.
Yeah, you mentioned BU did beat BC in the bean pot. That was also the last time BC lost.
Yeah, that's 12 in a row.
Yeah,
that was February 5th.
12 in a row. They're kind of rocking and rolling right now.
All right, we got to catch our last break. Well, come back. I have some thoughts on the defense because we got a text about this as well. So I want to wrap up with that. Still time to call in if you want. 617-779.
Christian, we're talking to you, Fourier.
7937. Yes, Christian Fourier, call in. We'll be back right after this.
AUDACY. Type that into your app search, then download.
This is Sunday Skate on WEEI.
Kind of let it breathe. Tonight, Princeton. And welcome! 1, 2, 3! Playing the sunshine. That's what I'm going to be doing. Getting on the flight.
Rub it in.
Wonderful thing.
And not if I don't decide to take you to the airport after this.
I'll get there eventually.
You'll find
just
it.
Walk.
My flight's already delayed 45 minutes.
Oh, like, boy. Here we go.
Love that. Love
Is there
that.
Rain there?
What's that?
No rain down there, all right? Just whatever's going on here.
Hurricane Scott.
You know what though? It's a nice Sunday afternoon. There's tons of stuff on TV to watch. Yeah. You get to the airport at the same time. Let it delay all. As long as you get out at some point today, you can day drink at the airport all day. It's a beautiful thing. It's perfect. That would be the best part of the trip.
I'm imagining that's what's going to happen as soon as he leaves here. I'm going to drop him off at the airport, and he's going to have a margarita in his hand within 10 minutes of getting through to his terminal.
Absolutely.
What time the basketball start? At noon?
Yeah, 12:10, I think, is the first game.
So you
can
literally,
perfect.
You don't have to leave until 8 o'clock tonight, and you'll be happy. Be a good night.
All right, so wanted to touch on, so we got a text here. Peak is in now, but he essentially replaced Forbort. Why is Weatherspoon all of a sudden a perma scratch? I think he got in one game since the contract extension. He was playing well, and it's puzzling. P.S., I like Peak so far, and he needs games since he only played 20 coming in. But some of the regulars look tired to me and could use a game off here and there. So we saw Mason Lorai draw back into the lineup on Saturday. I think this continues to be fascinating how the Bruins handle, specifically the depth spots on defense, I think. You know, whether guys in the top four get a game off at some point, I think it's kind of said. It certainly, they like the Lindholm-Carlo pairing. It certainly seems like Montgomery has settled on Grizzly being with McAvoy. It doesn't really look like Mason Lorai is going to get a chance to challenge for that job. But, you know, we could sit here and debate whether he should or whether he'd be ready. But those third pairing jobs very much still up for grabs. We saw Shattenkirk come in on his offside play on the left. Had one great game, then a quieter game. They want to get Andrew Peak as many games as possible to see exactly what they have in him. Obviously, because, you know, he came over at the deadline. But it does lead to these situations where, you know, Mason Lorai was out for two games before he gets back in. Parker Weatherspoon's now been out for three. So, Razor, just what do you think of this situation? And how do you think it eventually shakes out in terms of what their best third pairing is going to be?
I think the third pairing at the end of the day, and that I hopefully don't think this is a cop out, is completely matchup dependent. They're really going to favor matchups, whether that's on the road in Toronto, at home against Toronto, on the wherever they're playing. It's going to be very matchup dependent, and you're going to see it. You're going to see it move a little bit, I think, depending on how series is played, how games are played. You go to the regulars, McAvoy, Lindholm aren't coming out of the line. Like, they might get one game, but we saw that last season when there was like this whole rotation rest. The big guys don't want to not play. They're playing in the National Hockey League. You don't like say, I want to take a game off. It just doesn't, load management isn't like that in the NHL. So you might see them sit a game at some point if there's like a little, my groin, you know, something, but you're not going to see guys sit out games that are in the top four. I am curious with Weatherspoon why he seems to have been the odd man out recently, which is interesting. I don't know why or how. I think them putting guys on the opposite side is very different and interesting. The other day when they had Shaddy over on the left. So that kind of stuff is interesting to me. I don't know the answers to any of those questions. I just find it interesting watching how they're working through those three extra defensemen, and I think it'll continue to be interesting. But end of the day, it's matchup based. Who starts game one?
Bridges, you have, I know Bridges has some thoughts.
I heard
on Celine
Dion. Like when Celine starts singing, I have to stop. You understand? It's like standing up for the national anthem. As a Canadian, I have to stop.
I heard Fourier trying to get you to say something mean about Celine Dion.
Yes, of course. No, you can't. You cannot say anything mean about Celine Dion.
No,
it's impossible.
She's perfect. Even being in the hallway with her, I was like, oh my god! I didn't know what to do.
Yeah, they had to block us off after the game because she came down the same hallway where the media waits to go in the locker room. For if anyone missed it, Celine Dion was at the Bruins game on Thursday. Read/ sang off the opening lineup in the locker room. Was shown on the Jumbotron. She was playing air guitar to Bon Jovi.
It was so awesome and random and
totally
everything.
Random.
Yeah.
She's not from around here.
No, she's Canadian. She's a huge Canadians fan. I mean, her husband owned the team at some point or had piece of it.
Maybe Boston won Celine Dion by winning in Montreal last week.
That's right. Exactly.
All right. That's it for this week of Sunday Skate. Christian Arcand coming up at 11. We'll be back next week, 9 a.m. I'll be sunburnt,
tanned.
So... it'll be great. We'll talk to you then.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.